Well, greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's a blessing to be here. I've already been richly blessed with what the brothers have shared. I feel like I could go home and feel fed, feel nourished. Why don't we bow our heads for a word of prayer before we begin? Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Father, we know that you are the giver of life, and we just pray, Father, that you would continue to feed us this morning, Lord, as you already have, that we could be nourished and strengthened, Lord, in you, and just pray that you would be lifted up today, Father, and that you would be glorified, Father. Just pray that you would break unto us the bread of life. And God, this morning, I do think of think of Joe and Iva this morning, Lord. Would you continue to strengthen them, Lord, and the work you have called them to, Father? Pray that you would make their lives fruitful, Lord. Also think of the girls in Honduras, Christina, Rachel, and Elisa. Would you bless them as well, Lord? Pray that as they teach and interact with the children, Lord, that they could plant seed that can grow and bring fruit forth for your kingdom, Father. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciated that song that Linwood shared. I guess I would like to say welcome to everyone here this morning. It's good to be together. Visitors, everyone. Song number 560. Thou true vine that heals. Thou true vine that heals the nations. Tree of life, thy branches we. They who leave thee fade and wither. None bear fruit except in thee. Cleanse us, make us same and simple, till we merge our lives in thine. Gain ourselves in thee the vintage, give ourselves through thee the vine. Nothing can we do without thee. On thy life depends each one. If we keep thy words and love thee, all we ask for shall be done. May we loving one another, radiant in thy light abide. So through us, made fruitful by thee, shall our God be glorified. It goes well with what I would like to share this morning. The title of the message is Bearing Fruit for the Kingdom. You know, this is a joyous time of the year for me. Probably my favorite, actually. I enjoy each season in a sense, but everything is coming back to life, and it just shows us, reminds us that, yeah, everything's still connected. We think of this morning, there was flowers, we seen some tree with flowers, and it was very obvious that the branches were still connected to the trunk, and the sap is starting to come up through to the branches, feeding it, nourishing it, and it's bringing forth fruit. The idea that I would like to share this morning, I have three different passages of Scripture I'd like to look at first about the tree and its fruits, similar passages. And then I would like to look at three different parables that Jesus gave about bearing fruit in our lives. And then maybe just talk a little bit about the fruit that glorifies God. You can turn with me to Matthew 7. That will be the first passage of Scripture that I'll be reading, starting in verse 15 through 20. Matthew 7, starting in verse 15. It says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth good fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not fruit, not good fruit, is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Talking about Beware of false prophets. And I'm not going to go into that a lot about, or hardly any, when we think of false prophets. I'm going to focus this morning on bearing fruit in our own lives. But here it says, we learn from these passages that a good tree will bring forth good fruit. We also learn that a corrupt tree will bring forth evil fruit. We also learn that a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. And a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Let's keep that in mind. There's two more passages I'd like to read that are very similar. Brings out some of the themes, things. Matthew 12 is the next one. Reading from verse 33 through 37. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And here again, he talks about the good fruit, the good tree, and corrupt tree, and the evil fruit. But then he brings in another aspect, and he talks about man. And brings a similarity. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good fruit. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. Just keep that in mind. It's thinking about the similarity when we think of trees and men. And the third passage I would like to look at is Luke 6:43-45. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Again here, very similar. Good man, good treasure of the heart bringeth forth that which is good. Evil man, evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. And what I see him pointing out here is that a bramble bush will always produce thorns, right? We don't expect anything else from a bramble bush. He says a fig tree will always produce figs. Amen? Same way with any other kind of fruit-bearing tree. An apple tree will always produce apples. A peach tree will always produce peaches. And if I would have a tree here this morning with, say there'd be a tree here, be blooming, and there would be peaches hanging on this tree, could I convince you that it's an apple tree? No, because an apple tree doesn't bear peaches. What about, could I convince you that even though it may be a peach tree and it has peaches, could I convince you that it came from a seed of an apple? No. Why not? Why wouldn't that be possible? Apple seeds bring forth apples. And this is a principle that God has set from the beginning of time. Let's turn to Genesis 1. And look at, starting in verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. So we see here in the beginning of time, when God created the heaven and the earth, he created this principle that whatever seed you plant, that's what you'll get. And it will grow up and it will produce fruit and have the same seed within itself that will then produce more fruit. We think of that as even this spring is a time of the year when soon, maybe some of you already have, we'll be planting garden. Now, our garden already has a full crop in it, but it's weeds. And I wouldn't expect to leave that and then this fall go out and harvest carrots and potatoes and celery. No. Weeds are always going to bear their own fruit. This is how it works. And so it is with our lives as well. You know, in the beginning, God created man. We heard of that. Joshua talked about how that, you know, we were created unto life, but we were also created with a choice. And man chose to disobey God. And there came forth, because of that disobedience, there came forth another seed, which was the seed of corruption that has impacted every one of us from the generation after Adam. We all have been born of that seed of corruption. And that seed will always bear fruit after its kind. So even though I have been born with that seed of corruption, I can try to do a lot of good things, but it will never be real or genuine, because that's all that the seed of flesh knows how to produce is just more fleshly seeds, more fleshly fruit, and they will bear more seeds. In Romans 6, it says, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That has been for every one of us. And like I said, we can try to do a lot of good things, being in that state of frame of place. But as Isaiah 64:5 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags, and we all do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, and there is none that seeketh after God. And so it has been with generation after generation. But God made a covenant with Abraham. He said, this is what God says in Genesis 17:7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. What for seed was he talking about? Was it just Abraham's family would increase and they would have children and they too would get married and have seed and have bring forth more children? Or was there something else he was talking about when he talked about an everlasting covenant, a seed of everlasting covenant? Galatians 3:16 says it like this. He says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, not as unto seeds of many, but as of one, and that seed is Christ. Praise God, there's another seed that God provided. And the seed of Christ, we see as the other things that we have looked at, the examples of a tree, the examples of a good man or an evil man, the seed of Christ will always produce the fruits of Christ. A That's all that knows how to produce. And the seed of corruption will always produce fruit after its kind. And so in order for us, and I guess even as I think of working with other people, you know, sometimes it's easy for us to just try. We would like for people just to do good at least. I mean, I'm not saying that's, how would I say? I guess what I'd like to point out, we need to start with the seed, planting a new seed. There's a verse that says, now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. The seed of corruption will never produce good fruits. So we need to take the axe, so we need to chop it down, and we need to plant the new seed, the seed of Christ. We need to be born of the seed of Christ in our lives. Galatians says, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Christ, the seed of redemption, God has provided for each one of us. You know, a lot of these teachings that I've just read, the examples, parables that Jesus gave, often it was to the Jews and to the Pharisees who thought they had no need of anything else. They were Abraham's seed. They were the children of Abraham. Actually, in John 31, it says, when Jesus was telling them about this and accusing him of being casting out devils by Beelzebub, he said, if the Son will make you free, then you shall be free indeed. And they said, well, we be Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou then that we shall be made free? And Jesus said, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Because that's all that the seed of God knew to bear was good seeds. First Corinthians says, For as in Adam we all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. We need to be born of a different seed. The Bible refers it the different ways. One place it says by the Spirit of God or by the Word of God. Here's another verse. In Colossians talks about the old man and the new man. It says, but now put also off all these, anger, wrath, blasphemy, filthy communications out of the mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put on the old man, put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Again, putting off the old man and putting on the new man. We can't just put the new man over top of the old man. We need to put the old man off so the new man can live. And we also, this reminded me, it says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, but Christ is all and in all. We heard that lesson this morning. Think of that. Christ is all and in all. Also, Linwood shared a verse this morning. He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And the old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Another verse in John 3:5-7. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. We have all been born with the seed of flesh. But we need to be born of the seed of the Spirit. And I trust many of us have. And I guess my heart with the message this morning is just to encourage us to stay connected to the vine, that we would bring forth fruit to the glory of God. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So as we think of what we've just read, it's very obvious that corruptible seed will produce evil fruit. Incorruptible seed will produce good fruit. Jesus uses these parables about bringing forth fruit in our lives. The good man out of the treasure of his heart, good fruit, and an evil man out of the treasure of his evil heart bringeth forth evil fruit. And Jesus told the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came to his baptism, he said, bring forth fruit meet for repentance. You know, repentance in itself has fruit that follows. And so it's obvious for us for when we look at people and say, you know, they have Christ, and yet they're living an evil life, we say, well, that just doesn't measure up, right? It's not, something's not clear about that. Bring forth fruit meet for repentance. So I'd like to look at this morning three different parables that Jesus gave us. There's a lot of parables that we could look at. I'd like to look at the parable of the sower and the parable of the olive tree, and then also John 15, the fruit chapter, Christ being the true vine, as we sang this morning. Luke chapter 8, verse 5 through 15. And his sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. And other fell on ground, good ground, and sprang up and brought forth fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they see, they might not see, and hearing they might not hear, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this, of the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and take us away the word. Let's think about these different, when we think about hearing, all of these hurt the word. And the first one, it says that the devil came and snatched it away lest they should believe. They that were on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, but for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, whom they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasure of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But unto the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And as we think about this, the seed that was sown, and it gives us a picture of Christ being the sower, going forth and spreading seed. The first we hear about those that have heard the word of God, and Satan came and took away the word out of their hearts. And the second were they heard the word and they received it with joy. Sometimes maybe we come to church and we hear a good message and we're inspired. And how often do we go about our next week and maybe forget what was shared? Sometimes I'm challenged with that in my own life. we hear the word and it was like, brother, that was good. Thank you for sharing that. And then we go home and we go through our next week and maybe forget what was shared. And I've forget who it was. He was talking about how they even sometimes after church, a brother came to him and said, brother, thank you for sharing. That was good. And he said, well, what stood out to you? He said he couldn't remember. And so, in a way, it's humorous, but how often is that us? How often is that me, I guess I'm asking, when I'm hearing? Or we hear the word and we want to follow, but we continue to yield to temptation, backsliding, and it doesn't bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. Next, we hear about the ones that hurt the word, but their heart was filled with the worldly things of life, the cares, the riches, seeking after pleasure. And it says, they hurt, but they brought no fruit to perfection. And the last verse, 15. I would desire for that to be each one of us. When we hear the word, we have an open and honest heart. And it falls on good ground and brings forth fruit. In one place in Scripture says some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. Here it says 100-fold. And this morning I'm not so much looking at how much fruit that we're bearing, but just that we're staying connected to God and that His word can flow through us to bring forth fruit that would bring glory to His name. All these people heard the same word, but many weren't fruitful. How can that be? There's a saying that comes from Billy Graham. It says, the same sun that shines, that melts butter, hardens clay. We think about that. And you know, so it is with the word of God. Many people who have an open and honest heart, it takes root. They have a desire for God, and it brings fruit in their lives. And to others, it just heartens their heart, has a different effect. And I believe that is the key where it says, and having an open and honest heart, that it, we may bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Next, I would like to turn to Romans 11, the parable of the olive tree. Reading from verse 13 through 24. For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling, of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief were they broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God. And to them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off from the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted in unto their own olive tree. Here again, we have a parable of thinking about a little bit different. The other one was about seed that is planted, but here he's talking about how that because of the Jewish people breaking away from who were God's chosen people, the Gentiles were able to be grafted in as well. And it gives us a different picture. I've never been involved. It would be very interesting, and I'd enjoy being involved in grafting fruit trees. It gives us this picture how that you can take a rootstock that is maybe an apple tree. You can actually graft in a branch of a peach tree that would bear fruit. And he gives this idea as Christ being that rootstock, could I say. And we're grafted in. And Jews or Gentiles, he says, those that were broken off because of unbelief. But we, by faith, can be grafted in to that rootstock of Christ. But he says we should not be high-minded, but fear. You know, it's not what we have done, but it's what Christ has done for us. So we have nothing to boast about but in Christ. Isaiah 10:15 says, Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith? Think about taking an axe and cutting down a tree, and should the axe be boasting because of this great tree it has cut down, when really, in and of itself, it can't do anything? Or he says, or shall the saw magnify himself against him that shaketh it? Or if somebody would take a handsaw and it would cut off a piece of lumber, and the saw would say, hey, look what I have done, you know. But really, in and of itself, it's helpless. It can't do anything. As if the rod should shake itself against them that lift it up. Or even a rod that we might use for whatever we might use it for, it would lift itself up and boast itself for what it is doing when in and of itself it can't do anything. Or it says, or as if the staff should lift itself up as if it were no wood. You know, sometimes older people, they use a staff to get around. We call it a cane. And should the cane itself be exalting itself for what it's doing like it wouldn't be wood? Like it would could do something about it. It's saying in the same way, we should not be high-minded, but fear about what God has done for each one of us. We should stay connected by faith. Paul said it this way. He said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And in verse 23 and 4, it just shows that God's mercy is extended to the Jews and to the Gentiles both. We must be grafted in by faith, as he said there. Those that were broken off, it was because of unbelief. Hebrews says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. But he that believeth in God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith keeps us connected or grafted in to the rootstock of Christ. Now I'd like to turn to John 15. I'm going to read through verse 1 through 17, and then I'm just going to come back and look at some of those verses. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. Neither can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things the Father, all things that I have heard from the Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, the Father may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. There's a lot of things as we think about this chapter here. First, Jesus says, I am the true vine. It gives us a picture that there are many vines in the world today that people attach themselves to. But the true vine is the only vine that giveth life. And Jesus is saying, I am that true vine. And then he says, my Father is the husbandman. The Father is the tiller of the soil, the vine dresser. Who would we rather have as a vine dresser than our Heavenly Father? He knoweth all about us. He created us. And he knows our every need. And just that thought itself is inspiring when I think of that. And we can trust that the vine dresser, the husbandman, is going to take good care of the branches, that it will bear much fruit. That is his desire. And there are two things that a vine dresser does. We see in verse 2. It says he takes away the fruitless branches, and he purges the fruitful branches that they bring forth more fruit. So he cuts away the lifeless and cultivates the living. He taketh away and he disciplines. And again, we're reminded, as I think of the other scripture, it is because of faith that we can be attached to this vine, the fruit, the vine that bears fruit. Not just any kind of fruit, but the fruit that the seed of Christ, the fruit that the true vine always bears, because of the seed is in itself, and it's only that's what it knows to bear, is just that kind of the good fruit. But I think of the purging that God does for us and for our good. It may not always seem that way. I know I have already, when I've been watching some videos, we have 4 peach trees, and there have been years when they haven't produced very well, but this year they are just loaded with blossoms. And we had that one other year where some of the branches were so full, they started hanging down, and some of them we propped up with sticks to hold up so they don't break off. Some of them broke off anyway, which tells you I'm not a really good husbandman to my fruit trees, because I couldn't bear to pick off some of the fruit. I wanted to, have all the fruit that I could get. But I've been watching videos where it talks to you how you thin out through the branches, you thin out the fruit so that you actually get a better, bigger crop. Well, that's what Jesus does, or that's what the Father does for us when he is purging our lives. We may not understand always why he's doing what he's doing. And we must simply trust him. The trials that come our way sometimes can be hard. But if we can trust that he's doing it for a purpose, and that is that we bring forth more fruit in our, from our lives. Hebrews 12 says, now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous. Amen? We could all say that. When we are chastened, when we go through things in life, it's not very joyous. But we would say it's grievous. But it says, nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. That gives me the picture that God wants our cooperation. When God does the pruning, he says, unto them that are exercised thereby. God is looking for a surrenderedness of our own hearts and lives, that we would just be committed to him. We would be connected with him. And we would allow him just to prune whatever he sees that is needful for us so that we can bear forth precious fruit. You know, a tree, no matter what sort it is, in the world that we live in today, has a tendency to, it can get blight, it can get different diseases. And sometimes we try to spray them for as a prevention. And this is what I see God doing. He knows what the future holds. He knows what our lives consist of. And he just goes about. He knows what we're made of. Carefully. Just pruning our lives. Maybe there's some disciplines that he brings in our lives because he knows that if they wouldn't be there, we would go astray. We are still in this body of flesh, and we need to die daily so that Christ's fruit can bear, the fruit that we bear can be for the sake of Christ. He's taking away the dross and anything that hinders us from bearing fruit. And we read that in the second verse, is that it says, the word of God, that you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. We have such need in our everyday lives that we continue to read the word of God. It cleanses us. It cleanses us. That is how God works in our lives. He reveals truth to us. He inspires us. And it's all that we bear fruit for him. That's the purpose. Ephesians 5:26 says that he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of water, by the word, talking about the church. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. If I would go out to one of our peach trees that the branches have a beautiful flowers, and just the color in itself, it's magnificent. It's very beautiful to look at. But if I would cut one of those branches and take it to the house so that we could see it in the house, it wouldn't be long that the flowers would fall off and it would die because it wouldn't be connected to the source that giveth life. And so he's saying here, he said, unless we are connected to the vine, we'll die. His life will quit flowing through us. Abide in me and I in you. And so the question comes, what does he mean to abide? What is abiding? We know that unless we abide, we will cut off the source of life. And I'm sure this abiding can, we could look at a lot of definitions. It may have a lot of different meanings, but I guess as I think about this, the branch depends on the tree for life. And isn't that how we should be as we think about abiding in Christ? Our full dependence should be on Christ, not in ourselves. We're, you know, what can we say? We're like the branch, right? We have nothing to boast about. Our full dependence is upon God. But if you're like I am, it's so easy to go through life when things go well. Well, maybe some of it is what I have done, right? Instead of, it's the gift of God. What we get, what God gives us is a gift from Him, and He blesses us that we can use to further His kingdom. So as I think of abiding in Christ, that's what comes to me, is that we are just dependent. We are, could I say, helpless without Christ. Our sufficiency in ourselves, it's not in ourselves, it's in Christ. As 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of Christ. We need to be dependent on Christ. It is from the vine that we get nourished or get our nutrients. That's where life comes from. And we see that especially this time of the year. It's like everything was dormant through winter. And if we could visualize in the spring, Joshua talked about gathering sap. It gets nutrients from the ground and the sap starts going up to the trunk and it starts feeding the leaves. And that's when we can tap in and get maple sap to make maple syrup. But that's how it feeds the branches. And that's just how it is for us as well. When we depend on Christ and our focus is on Him and we read His word, that's where we get our nutrients from, it through Christ, through His Spirit. When a thought of helplessness, in Acts 3, verse 1 to 10, I'd like to look at that as we think of abiding in Christ and our helplessness and how we need to stay connected. Acts 3, 1 to 10, it says, now Peter and John went up together in the temple of the hour of prayer, being in the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried. And I had to think, isn't that how we are? Just like the physical illustration of this man that was born from his mother's womb, he was lame. And so is how we are. We have been born with the seed of corruption. We are helpless, in a sense. But it says, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And I thought of I thought of our Sundays, in between Sundays, how us children would sit around the recliner and my mother would tell us Bible stories. And I think of that. It says they laid him at the gate called Beautiful, with Christ, and that the gate of Christ, we could say. And they asked alms of them that entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked of alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by his hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankles and bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood, walked, and entering into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he that sat at alms for the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And I guess as I think of that, I just got this beautiful picture how that he said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's where we get our source of nutrient. And we think of what happened. There was joy. There was leaping. There was praising God. And isn't that what should happen when we are born again of the seed of God? There should be rejoicing. There should be joy coming from our lives. People should be filled with wonder and amazement about what happened. Just a beautiful picture, think of that. But thinking how helpless he was, and how Christ changed his life. Verse 6, he says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch. You know, we stay connected to the vine by faith. We heard that at the parable of the olive tree. It was because of the unbelief that they were broken off. And if we don't want to be a castaway, we need disciplines in our life to stay connected to the vine. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, this seed of flesh that, could I say, is still within us, even though we have been born of corruptible seed, if we don't continue to nourish and feed on the word of God that strengthens us, default will take place. The seed of corruption will rise up again. That's why Paul said we need to die daily. It's like, I guess, like the example I've heard once, it's like the law of gravity that we have in the earth. When we drop something, the law of gravity immediately pulls it to the ground. But the law of aerodynamics, as we think of an airplane, rises above the law, and it can take off, it can fly thousands of feet above the earth. It has a power that is greater than the law of gravity. But as soon as you shut that power off, the law of gravity takes effect and it pulls it right down to the ground. And I think of that illustration when I think of being born at the seat of Christ. We have a power that overrules the power of the flesh if we continue to feed and to grow and to nourish it. But when it starts to die, the seed of corruption again wants to rise up in our lives. That's why Paul says we need to die to it daily. We need to say no to the flesh. Think of a verse in Romans where it says, thinking about, again, just think about the fruit that our lives, he says, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. But thinking of saying no to the flesh, 1 Peter 4:1 says, for as much then as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. Joshua admonished us this morning to put on the mind of Christ. It says, arm yourselves. The world believes in bearing arms. Well, here it says we can arm ourselves, but it should be with the mind of Christ, not with guns. That won't do us any good. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. I've been pondering this verse here lately. I think I shared it with Brother Reuben when we were working over there. But just, I guess it just, a light came on when I thought about this. I mean, it probably should have happened to me long a time ago, but it just, when we think of it, it says that as Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. What is it really talking about? You know, our flesh wants to, there's things that our flesh wants to feed on. But when we bring our body under subjection and we say no to our flesh, it suffers. Our flesh suffers, right? It doesn't get what it wants. And that's a sign when we suffer in the flesh, we cease from sin. That means we are putting sin away. Flesh will not get its way in our lives any longer. We say no to it. We die to it. So that the Spirit of God, the fruit of God, the seed of Christ can live in our lives. Verse 7, it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Sometimes I think this verse gets taken out of context. It's like we can ask God whatever we want, and he says it will be done unto you. But it's in the context of bearing fruit. And God wants us to bear fruit. Amen? And I think of what Brother Ellen shared one time when he talked about prayer. He said, prayer is the work. And when we think of this, asking the Father that he would bear forth fruit in our lives, he said, whatever we ask, he will do it. It's God's heart that we would say no to the flesh and that we would bear fruit for the kingdom of God. And the same actually, it's the work of prayer, I believe. And the same, I think, verse 16, it says, it's kind of the same thing as well. It said, whatever we ask in the Father's name, he will give it you. Verse 8, herein is the Father glorified that ye bear fruit, so shall ye be to my disciples. As I was studying this message, thinking about fruit trees, the thought that I came to me is that, you know, a fruit tree benefits absolutely nothing from the fruit that it bears. It's always for the good of others and for the glory of God. And I thought about our lives. Sometimes maybe the blessings that God gives me, do I want to just keep them to myself? Or am I here to bless others? It was a challenging thought to me as I thought about that. I believe that's God's heart, that we should be, the fruit that we bear should be for the benefit and for the blessing of others, and that God would be glorified. Think about in our marriages, in our homes, in church life. If we seek to bear fruit, that would always benefit other people. Think how it would glorify God. That thought inspired me, and I'd like to just dwell on that thought. In the coming days, that would be actually a part of my life. Matthew says, freely ye have received. All of us that have been born of the Spirit of God, freely ye have received, freely give. We should have a heart of giving. And as I think as we think of prayer, as we think of seeking God to bear fruit in our lives, it says a person who cries to God with a desire to bear fruit for others and for the glory of God will not be fruitless. Somewhere I'm going to have to cut some things out here. I guess I would just like to think about the thought and stay with the thoughts we think of abiding, that our dependence would be upon God. And as he says in verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. That's the secret, I believe, as we think of the word continue. That's what jumps out to me. Continue, continue, continue. Don't be weary with well-doing. Just continue. I think of verse 13 where it talks about the sacrifice that God has made for each one of us. Actually, also verse 11, the joy that we should have in Christ. It's his heart that we are a joyful people, praising him. Also, verse 16, he says, we have not chosen God, but God has chosen us. It's like that thought when we think of our lives. And actually, he has ordained us. Every one of us has been ordained by God that we should bear fruit. And I guess in closing, I would like to just think about, I have here fruit that glorifies God. You know, there are many different varieties of fruits. I thought of Galatians 5, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And there could be a message on each one of those fruits. But as I thought about that, I thought about how that in each fruit, let's just take love for an example, there is an outworking of that in our lives. So it is with joy. So it is with peace. And while these fruits come from God as the fruit of the Spirit, God wants us to work out what he has worked in our everyday lives. And so we could say, well, what does love look like? What does joy look like? What does long-suffering look like? Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And it says, against such there is no law. We can bear all the fruit we want. There is no law against that. But I would just like to point out, God is not looking for a God is not looking for a mechanical fruit-producing machine. Like some of these machines that people come up with in the workplace, it just saves tremendous labor. It just, you know, does whatever it makes, it's good. God is not looking for that in our lives, that we're just a mechanical fruit-producing machine. But he is looking for a life or a channel that his love and his grace can flow through to bless other people. But as I thought about, just in closing, about fruits, what fruits is God looking for? And we could take all of these fruits, but I thought of the passage in Matthew 25 where it talks about the end times. Might just turn there quickly. Matthew 25, verse 31. I'm in the wrong chapter here. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and behold him, and before him shall gather all the nations, and shall separate them from one another, as the shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of the Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hunger, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. Sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous say unto him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king answered and said unto him, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done unto the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And so sometimes when we think of being here for God's sake, or for, we get this idea of the missionaries that do great things. But God is just looking for us to be available for the needs that we see around us, and that we reach out and be a blessing to those people. God has a heart for the poor. There's a lot of verses. I'm just going to leave it with that. There's a lot of verses we could look at. And also, I thought of the Good Samaritan when the lawyer asked him, well, who is my neighbor? And he gave him that story. And after he gave the story, he asked him, he said, so which one of these is your neighbor? And he told him, the one that helped, the one that was in need. And he said, go and do thou likewise. And that's what I want to leave with all of us. Go and do thou likewise. And just, yeah, let's be a channel that God can use and flow through to bear fruit for his kingdom. God bless you all.